weeks would go by, and finally we'd say, I got it. But it was real when it came. It was just that the Lord, if we could have heard him, would say, if you had just asked and believe me, you would have had it when you first asked. It is not difficult to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is difficult to be around people when you're not and the people are. One thing about preaching in your own home church is you get by with a lot more than if it's. Anyway, I want to talk to us today about the ministry of paying it forward. We're kind of familiar with the term pay it forward. Pay it forward is an expression for describing the beneficiary of a good deed, repaying it to others instead of to the original benefactor. Benjamin Franklin, in a letter to Benjamin Webb, dated April 25th, 1784, said it like this. Now listen, I do not pretend to give such a deed. I only lend it to you. When you meet with another honest man in similar distress, you must pay me by lending this sum to him, enjoining him to discharge the debt by a like operation when he shall be able, and shall meet with another opportunity. I hope it may go thus through many hands before it meets a knave that will stop its progress. And then he said, this is a trick of mine for doing a deal of good with very little money. Just think about that. That's paying it forward. Not just money. How about a smile? You give me a smile? Thank you. And see what it did? We got smiles everywhere. Someone dared to laugh. Someone dared to laugh. There's something contagious about it. Give and it shall be given is a fact, not a figure of speech. Ralph Waldo Emerson, in his 1841 essay entitled Composition, wrote this. In the order of nature, we cannot render benefits to those from whom we receive them or only sell them. But the benefit we receive must be rendered line for line, deed for deed, cent for cent to somebody. In 1916, Lily Hardy Hammond wrote, "You don't pay love back. You pay it forward." Pay it forward. We saw many of us saw a few years back the movie that someone depicted paying it forward with a young boy who was doing good deeds without absolutely any expectation of that deed repaying him. So many Christians don't get it. Pastor teaches tithing, and he says, if you give it unto the Lord, 10% is his. You can't give tithe anyway. Do you know that? You owe tithe. You give offerings. All right. That's a sic'em to a bulldog. But paying it forward is to do something, give something to someone that needs, and I expect nothing in repayment from that person, just like tithing is I pay my tithe and I don't always get the reward or the blessing of tenfold that preachers promise you. I don't get it back monetarily. Necessarily. But if you look back and remember, as Pastor Bob just said, you will see the many ways you got a hundredfold back when the Lord took care of you here and here and here. Something that we don't do enough of is look away from ourselves. We're in a church where there's much ministry, and I so appreciate it. I do. I appreciate that we sing together, we pray together, but we talk about all your problems, and we have altar teams, and you come forward. I'm going to tell you the quickest way out of depression. Do something for someone else. I promise you, you don't have to think about faith or anything else. If you'll just activate love and do something for someone else, you don't have time to think about your poor you. But first of all, paying it forward didn't begin with these people in history. I enjoyed picking up a couple of their statements there to share. But it started with God. Before he even had us, before there were worlds, God said, I'm going to pay it forward. I am going to create a world. And I am going to create men and women, and I am going to make it beautiful for them. Now, I don't care whether you live in a gorgeous house, or you live in an apartment, which you think is gorgeous, or you live in a tent, if you don't understand how beautiful our world is, go outside of where your cardboard or wherever you live and look up at night. Oh, I tell you, it's beautiful here. The stars shout out the praises of God. They shine in victory. This is a wonderful world we live in. Oh, but all the trouble, all the things that are going on. Yes, they're going on. And we're going to get rid of them, and they're going to go on. You're a little slow, but you're worth waiting for. The most common scripture that we know of God paying it forward, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should not perish but have everlasting life. You talk about paying it forward. Long before, Romans says it like this, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, there we are, living in sin, disobedience, ignorance, and willfulness. It didn't make any difference. The blood covers both. And Jesus paid it all. One drop of his blood will make you whole, complete, entire, if you allow. Give it all to you. While we were utterly helpless, it's still in Romans chapter 5, while we were utterly helpless, Christ came, listen to this, at just the right time and died for us sinners. For while we were yet weak, in due season, Christ died for the ungodly. I picked up a little plaque in our Bible store months ago. And it said, in the right time, I, the Lord, will do it. Taken from Isaiah. In the right time, I, the Lord, will do it. I put that on my desk, and there were just a lot of things going on, and I'd remind myself day after day, in the right time, I, the Lord, will do it. Listen, you need to hear that today. I don't know what it is that's disturbing you, whether it's praying for loved ones, or it doesn't matter, all these things I could mention. You know what they are. You know what you're going through. And I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, if you'll stay faithful in prayer, in the right time, I, the Lord, will do it. But not only is paying it forward from God, it began with him, but it is also paying it forward for God, or in behalf of him. Jesus spent his whole ministry talking to his disciples about him leaving. Greater things than I do shall you do, and I'm going to go, and the same spirit that's in me is going to be in you, and what I do, it's not me, it's the Father. They wanted so to give him the glory all the time, and he would, everything, every miracle that he did, they would say, oh, that's marvelous, that's magnificent. And he'd say, it's the Father. Oh, but your words, the words you speak, they're just, oh, they're a life. We see people being life by your word. You are, oh, you are one. He said, the words that I speak, they're the Father. The things that I do, they're the Father. Well, you say, well, why would he do that? We praise Jesus. Yeah, he's glorified now, but he was man on earth. And what he was trying to get across to them was, watch what I do so you can do it. Hear what I say, because they're not just light words. They're the words of the Father. The words that I speak come from the Father. When he left them, he said, I'm going where? To the Father. Jesus is seated at the right hand of what? The Father. What's he doing? He's making intercession. He's saying, Father, it's like Verna again, and Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being there. So Jesus was saying to them, I want you to learn to pay it forward. I want you to go places they don't want you. I want you to tell them the good news. I want you to demonstrate the works of the Father. Jesus is talking with them, all of them, and a group is around there, and there's an attorney there. Love you, all of you attorneys. A certain lawyer stood up and put him to the test. Is that funny or not? Here's Jesus Christ. I'm glad you got that, because we still do it. All right. And he said, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Love Jesus' answer. Read the Bible. Okay, it's worded different. Here's what he said. What is written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered proudly, because he had memorized this. He knew it. He knew the word. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus answered and said, good. If you do this, you will live. That was a good word. But wishing to justify himself. See, the word convicts, doesn't it? The three of you know that. The others don't read the Bible. And he feels conviction. And I'm with him. It's hard that Jesus added that last sentence. I mean, I love loving the Lord God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Neighbors? So he says to Jesus, what do you expect of me? Who exactly is my neighbor? I love Jesus' reply, because when Jesus speaks, remember this, when he speaks, whether it's when you're reading the word or you're hearing the word as it is open, there is never the ability for us to perceive fully what has been spoken the first time we hear it. Because Jesus speaks in layers of revelation. We have so many wonderful speakers that come here. And then they let me. But we do. And our pastor is, he's just one of my favorite speakers. He peels the word. And he goes, and sometimes people think, well, he's just making that up. He's just exaggerating. And sometimes he does exaggerate. But when he is peeling the pure word, and he's taking that loaf of bread, and he takes the crust off, and that was all I saw in that verse. God so loved the world. Hallelujah. That he gave. Oh, to think that God gave. God doesn't owe anyone anything. And I'm not preaching John 3:16. I'm making a point. And Pastor just keeps peeling. And then the same subject comes, and Pastor just keeps peeling. You've had many great speakers in this place. Peeling the word. Peeling the word. It's not new doctrine. It's not new revelation. It's peeling off the intensity of what he said. Now, here's this attorney. Who exactly do you expect me to minister to? And Jesus answers. I love his simple answer. Once upon a time, we like the these and thous and the holy talk. Oh, that thou wouldest listen to what Esaias have to sayeth. Jesus just looked at the man, this brilliant, well-educated, probably wealthy man, and said, once upon a time, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a certain priest was going down on the road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But he did see him. But a Samaritan who was on the journey came upon him. And when he saw him, he felt compassion. Say it. Compassion. The main ingredient of ministry is compassion. The main demonstration of the life of Christ is compassion. And you don't know that's true because you don't feel compassion for yourself. You feel pity. Poor me. You don't know what I've been going through. You don't know. I'm not understood. I don't get fed in this church. I'm trying to find some place where, you know, I can feel that I'm really receiving, and the music won't scream at me, and I don't have to wear earplugs, and the floor won't shake. Yeah, it will when the Holy Ghost comes, but you don't know that. But, and all these things, who exactly is my name? You know, the problem with you, if you're feeling those things, is you're half backslidden. If you were filled with the Holy Ghost, it wouldn't matter what group you were with. If you can sense Christ in the person next to you, that's good enough. When we were praying in the Spirit, oh, I love that. This is a new day, don't you know it? This is a new day. And people are sitting around, well, go on. All right. So this Samaritan came to him, bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine in them, and he put him on his own beast and brought him back to the inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him. And whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you. Which of these three, asked Jesus, do you think proved to his neighbor to be the neighbor to the man that was had fallen into the robber's hands? Which one? He's standing there with all the people listening. He's going to have to give the right answer. And so he said, the one that showed mercy to him. And Jesus said, then you go and do the same. Now, the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was a narrow 17 miles of curves descending, and it had many hiding places, and the bandits knew it, and it became known then by them as the Blood Road. Not the blood of Jesus, but the blood that they would cause, because there were places to stay and people that came down riding on their donkeys, they could apprehend them. This half-murdered traveler, he just waits. Waits for someone to help. Now, church, I have to draw this picture because I don't want you to miss anything. Do you not understand that that is exactly the condition of society today? Well, I'm trying to raise money to go to the mission field. Look around. We didn't go, so he brought it in. They're everywhere. But they don't speak my language. Speak in tongues. You can walk through a store now doing it. They don't know. Maybe they're from Europe. Maybe they're from... He wasn't quite dead. He was just half dead. So he's looking, and he sees, the first one he sees is a man of the cloth. Am I a lucky? Oh, this is a Jew. A Jew is coming, a priest is coming down the road. Hope springs within him. He'll help me. I know he will. He's a man of God. But here the man of God has his prayer book. Quick glance. Oh, he's not going over there because his situation, listen, the priest's situation, was that the Jews had so many priests in Jesus' day that they could only serve in the temple 2 weeks out of the year. And if they touched a dead body, they had to be cleansed 7 days before returning to service. Perhaps this priest feared missing his chance to preach. Do I dare? How many years have you been sitting in the pew waiting to be discovered? Oh, Pastor, I've got this call of God in my life, and I even get sermons in the night, and I write them down. I have a whole portfolio of messages, and it just burns inside me. It should burn inside you. It ought to burn a hole through you. Find somebody half dead. The priest is happy with himself, happy with his assignment, and blind to the situation. But presently he hears more footsteps. I think he gets his eyes, at least one maybe unbloodied eye out. And sure enough, it's another one that has hope for him. It's a Levite. They're in charge of taking care of the temple, and they're in charge of the music. And oh, he'll help me. And the Levite comes along. And the indication in some translations is that he crossed to the other side and looked and walked away. How would we do that? I mean, this sounds so heartless, and yeah. Here's how we do it. They're not in my denomination. They don't believe what I believe. They're a different color than me. I can't tell who it is, and you never know. You never want to stop to help anyone. You never know in this day and age. And yet we get together, and we are one powerful lion. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you say a hearty amen. And Pastor builds our faith week after week. And we say a hearty amen. And we talk about the mountains, and we're going to get on those mountains. And we're going to make a difference. There's going to be a shift. Well, first you have to move. I followed a car last Sunday morning going to where I was speaking, and it had a decal on it, and it said this: we do everything we can, and we leave the rest to God. I love that. That's a real good one. We do everything we can, and we leave the rest to God. We don't do that. We leave it all to God. And he can catch us if he can. Oh, the heartlessness to see a man in this condition and walk on. But church, today you are hearing cries from anyone who is anyone in Christian circles saying, pray, pray, pray. Something is on the horizon. Pray. There's going to be disaster if we don't pray. There's going to be judgment if we don't pray. Pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their own wicked ways, if my people will seek my face, I will hear, God says, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, sins of omission as well as commission. You're so locked into wanting, I just want to get free of these bad desires. Oh, I just, you know, I have this habit, and I come to church and nobody ministers to me. I'm like this poor Samaritan. I'm just laying there bleeding. Take another look. It may be that someone next to you that's worse than you. And there's a power within you that will come alive. There's a little bit of light. There's a match in you that if you would strike it, it's called the Holy Ghost. If you would strike that match, you may not feel like the great preacher. You may not feel like, you know, who am I to tell them? Strike the match. You struck the match this morning when Pastor Debbie said, everybody, I want you to pray in tongues. What happened? Yeah, we just took the match. And it began to get burning, 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 burning. And all the doubters were going, I think they're crazy. But you loved it, didn't you? Come on, you thought we were crazy. You loved it. You loved it. You felt something. Something shifted in you. You didn't do it, but you could have. But you just, because it's real. I hate fake. Those that know me, you know, I hate pretense. I dislike being in a service where people do things that they've seen the Holy Spirit do. It really stinks. But when it's the Holy Ghost, you can't even be offended. You said, well, I don't understand it, but wow. I mean, there was it got big. This thing is, I don't know. Well, you will before you're through. Okay. So now, two holy people, two great leaders have passed him by. Now along comes a Samaritan. In 722 BC, Assyria defeated the northern kingdom of Israel and sent them into exile. The conquering Assyrians brought in foreigners to replace the deported Israelites, which led to intermarriage of Jews and Gentiles. This is your history lesson. The Jews of pure lineage despise the progeny of these mixed marriages, which led to a separation of the full-blooded Jews, we're the holy ones, and the mixed-blooded Jews, or the unholy ones, and they lived in Samaria, so they call them Samaritans. They were, as we would say in some circles, half-breeds. They were despised by the pure Jews. I'm sorry, but I see this happening in churches today. Did you ever, you don't have to admit this, but did you ever attend a church that you knew you weren't welcome in? And they just kind of looked at you like, how long will you stay? You were to them a half-breed. Leave it. This Samaritan comes along. He is on a mission. He's on his donkey. Now, get this, it's a point you need. He's on a mission. He doesn't have time to stop. That's where we live. That's one of my great faults. I'm always going someplace, always doing something, even at my age. And people say, are you retired? I say, yeah, sort of. If that means getting tired twice, yes, I'm retired. But you know what it's like when you get ready to go out the door and the phone rings? And Shirley says, it's so-and-so from such and such a place, and they have to talk to you. It disturbs me to get off my donkey. Point made. You cannot give anything you do not possess. You can't give my money. You can't make a pledge from me. You can't give my anointing. You can't give pastor's anointing. I've had people come to me and say, I want your mantle. I say, can't have it. Took a lot of years to get what little things left. It's mine. And I'm taking it with me when I go. We come in here anointed speaking, and we think we're where they are because we feel what they feel at the moment. But the man isn't well yet. The Good Samaritan has stopped, and he possesses something. and he pours in the oil and the wine, the purifying and the healing. May I suggest that is the Holy Ghost? He's oil and he's wine. You have it, church. You have him. All we need to do is call forth the river. There is a river that flows from deep within, and we are so needed today. Oh, desperately, if you've been in this church 3 months or longer, you know more than the average person out there on the street. And they want answers. Well, I don't understand. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Because it isn't a matter of us sending you here and there. And we will, of course, always send missionaries. But it's a matter of us learning to minister right where we are on whatever mountain God has put us. So the ingredient we have to have is compassion. The antidote to every situation is Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Every person is different. It isn't a matter of loading your gun. You've seen me do it with the scriptures. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind and all thy strength. No matter how many times I do that, I get a reaction. Because, church, because, listen, it isn't one person like now giving a message. It's God's people being everywhere, possessing that which is needed in the world. Every one of us, it's time for that paradigm change that we talk about, the real shift, the real switch. It's time, and it'll happen when we come alive with what we already possess. And when he poured it in, the oil and the wine, he realized, this is as far as I can take this man. I don't have any more. He doesn't own him. He puts him on his donkey and takes him to someone else who can care for him. That's the body of Christ. We need each other. One has one gift, one has another, one has another. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. This is a time when we need one another. One spoken word from Patricia King makes me come alive. She has that anointing, that exhortive anointing that very few people have. One spoken word through Pastor Bob, and I think, yes, I remember. One spoken word through you will cause the man, the woman, children to come alive. Children who are being abused every day on our own streets. But we're going to save them. We're going to snatch them out of the hands of the enemy. And we're going to pour in oil. And we're going to pour in wine. And we're going to counsel them. And if we can get to those that are coming over from Mexico illegally and being hidden from us, we're going to pray that God will break the chains of hiding and we can get through to them. Because, and I'll finish, it's his idea. It's God's idea to pay it forward. It's his word. It's his work, and it's his worship. He wants us to pay it forward to him. I will praise him. Say it. I don't just praise him when I feel good. I don't just praise him when he just answered prayer. But sometimes the hardest thing I do is part my lips. When I'm hurting and I want someone else to pity, are you there? And the Lord says, I'm here and I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. What I'm asking for is that you will praise me. But Lord, I don't feel praise. I understand that, but I'm worthy. it can't be false if I am always worthy. And the psalmist said, out of the miry clay, he has set my feet on a solid rock, and he has made my steps clear before me. And I promise you, on the authority of God's word, that very soon you're going to know the answers to the questions you've been grappling with and wondering about, and all, where do I go? What shall I do? How much shall I do? When and what? It's going to come to you in the right moment, at that moment perhaps least expected, when you're helping someone else. When you're helping someone else, the answer is going to come.
Wonder if we could stand to our feet this morning. How many of you appreciated that prophetic word? That is a prophetic word to CFTN today, and you're here to hear that word because God wanted you to be here. Amen. I'm going to ask for our prayer team to come forward quickly, and we're going to take a moment and give you an opportunity to respond to this word. There are so many of us that have become distracted and stuck, and God wants to release us to go to the down and outers and minister to someone else and go beyond our own situations. That's going to be our call this morning. And also, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, it's already in the house. You've already got it. You just need to come forward and have someone agree with you and begin to operate in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the altars are open as we worship here this morning. We're going to invite you to go ahead and come forward. Those of you that remain in your seat, just agree with each other that, you know what, this week when I leave this house, I'm going to cross the street and I'm going to go do something out of the ordinary that I don't normally do, that's not normally comfortable for me. Amen? So we're going to worship. Just hang with us just for a moment here as we open the altars and ask you to come forward that need prayer.
For you to be glorified, for you to be lifted.
as they finish praying here.